March 13, 2009, the Maine Legislature's Transportation Committee met to discuss how Maine DOT planned to spend $127 million that it would be getting out of the stimulus package. The breakdown includes $75 million for roads and bridges, $52 for other modes, including $30 million for a freight initiative, $30 million for rail, $10.5 million for ports. The discussion includes the possibility of using demolition to rid Searsport Harbor of Long Cove Ledge. Maine DOT also plans to award money to the Montreal, Maine, and Atlantic Railroad. In the 20-minute recording, Senator Dennis Damon, chair of the legislature's Transportation Committee, is questioning Kenneth Cole, Commissioner of Transportation.
The bond package that you're going to talk to us about that's before the legislature now, is it going to have any impact on the white portion of the bar graph of this fiscal year, 08-09?
No. No, this
is not.
The bond issue, I believe the current plan would be to issue the bond in November.
So it couldn't have any impact?
No. This is for 10-11.
And so there is no way that we could realistically think that that little, relatively little, white portion of on the top of this year's bar can be filled in?
No, not, with the year coming to an end, June 30th.
Nothing in the works.
No.
What's that white portion represent in dollars of this year?
For 10-11?
No, talking about the current year. I have to get that for you, Senator. We don't have the key that goes along with this, but it's looks like, what, 30, 40, 50 million?
It looks like it could be about 60, 75 million, I'd say. Right?
Which is still significant, but given where we started.
I understand. I just want to, it says that we have a $914 million need in this biennium, and we're almost there. Almost is relative, I understand.
Right.
But we're not there, and I wanted to know how much short we are, because that's going to be part of the cascade moving forward as well.
Right.
If we don't get done now, we're going to have to build into it. I want to go backwards, though, for a minute, and you'll see that the amount of spending that we had in 04-05 and 06-07 has no white above it. So what we spent was what we spent. I wonder what the need was in those years as well.
Because
we didn't meet the need.
Right. We've always, at least in recent years, had a major backlog.
Mm-hmm.
We never had the benchmarks to really measure it until 1790, and our long-range plan was put together. But we've had a major backlog, particularly when prices went through the roof, when we experienced about 35% inflation in a two-year period, where what was maybe manageable in some ways all of a sudden overnight grew, by a third.
Yep.
So it
seemed to be that it was more we were having to react to things back in the past than we are planning for things now. Maybe if the planning for things is a result of 1790, that has its good sides and it has its bad sides. It has its good sides to show perhaps what the need is. Its bad side is to show perhaps what the need is.
The report card won't look so good.
Yeah.
Okay. The package for transportation is approximately $127 million
mm-hmm.
out of the governor's total package of $306 million. That's about 40%. To break that $127 million down, $75 million is allocated for roads and bridges. Of that, $60 million would be done through a highway fund-backed bond, and $15 million would be backed by a general fund bond or general fund obligation. The rest of the package, and we can take whatever questions you may have, but the rest of the package also includes $52 million for other modes of transportation, including $30 million for the governor's freight initiative. And as this committee well knows, we are a time of great challenge, particularly for our manufacturers in the state. They're probably the two biggest problems they face are energy and transportation as a cost of doing business. And historically, Maine has been at somewhat of a competitive disadvantage. You know, there are a number of initiatives underway to try to level that playing field and take advantage of it. Of the $30.5 million, $20 million is for rail, and $10.5 million is for ports. And I think, Greg, you might want to comment on the rail. Greg's headed up a group that's put the rail piece together.
Yeah, very quickly, because I hate to be between the committee and lunch. But the rail investments we hope to be comprehensive. If you look at, for example, the $16 million that would be allocated to this new critical, it's not new critical rail corridors. It's a new critical rail corridors program. It's not clear. No, this is a program. Many of you, you're familiar with the program Maine DOT's administered for years called IRAP, Industrial Rail Access Program, which also has funds allocated to it in this program. Basically, IRAP has been a great model for us in that it's program funding we obtain through the legislative process. We then solicit proposals from the market, from the community, and we fund connections to the rail system from shippers. We put 50% in, they put 50% in. This program has been modeled after IRAP in this respect. Once the legislature and the voters approve capitalizing this program, we have underway a statewide rail study. And what that study is going to tell us pretty much by the end of the year are what the critical rail corridors of the state are. We're going to look at the extent to which they're critical for moving freight and passenger service, to the extent to which they do both, critical industries on one particular line versus another. We're going to study actual freight data, how much freight moves on each line, what type of freight. So the statewide rail study will really determine for us the priority investments that need to be made. The other elements of this program will be, for example, if a private rail operator, a private rail owner, comes to the department for funds in this program, they need to demonstrate the public benefit. They need they will enhance their chances of success if they bring money to the table. It may not be a absolute 50-50 program like IRAP, because each corridor is different, each need is different, each level of investment is different. For example, the private regional railroads have access to a federal tax credit. So they could come to us with a proposal using their federal tax credits, which is real cash money. And if they don't make money, they can sell those credits to the market. So the idea is to take these dollars and leverage them to the maximum extent possible, to leverage other capital as well, to have these dollars maximize their potential on the total rail system. So in a nutshell, the state rail study will identify what the critical rail corridors are that will make them eligible for these funds. These funds will hopefully leverage other funds, and it's going to lead to improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the rail system, which is becoming more and more critical, particularly to our natural resource-based industries. And when you align that with the plans for port development, particularly at Searsport, it's going to become even increasingly more important to ensure that we have an efficient connection to the national networks from what could be a much more significant port access for moving higher volumes of freight. So it's part of the sort of, it's really an extension of our statewide freight strategy that we'll be briefing you on in a few weeks as well, which will give you a much more comprehensive view. But this will be the funding, the capital, if you will, that we're going to need to implement the freight strategy.
Thank you. Other questions?
And there are other funds involved in this package, including the state committing its commitment to the Montreal, Maine, and Atlantic, the last payment when they took it over in bankruptcy from Bangor and Roostook Railroad. There's monies for IRAP. Also complementing the rail money is $10.5 million for seaports, And I would just say it's investments in our three-port strategy. Port of Eastport for $1.5 million to support a transload facility in the Calais Baileyville area.
Could I interrupt
sure.
just there, Commissioner? I'm sorry, but
yep.
a transload facility, that would be taking the cargo from the ship. I'm talking about incoming cargo now,
yep.
taking it by truck to this facility where it could then either go to another truck or go to train or something. Tell me what that transload facility is exactly.
That's what happened.
And likely coming the other way, stuff coming out of Maine would come
yep.
in by rail and then be transferred to truck to
right.
take to the ship.
And the distinction is that it isn't necessarily containers. It may be
right.
break bulk that gets shipped, put into a rail car from a truck.
Yep.
Now, one point it's probably valuable to share, given the recent events at Domtar, the Eastport officials, port officials, and the community officials are taking a look at prioritizing needs given the circumstances they now face. So it could be by the time we're done with this package, they may have other priorities to invest in relative to the port aside from the transload facility. So we're not entirely sure exactly what investments they're going to refer, but this will probably be revisited at this point.
So is it fair to say that the department will continue to have discussions with the Port of Eastport, the City of Eastport? Isn't there an authority that has that port?
There's the Eastport Port Authority.
So you're in constant?
Sure. And the governor's initiated those conversations with community officials and legislators from that area already, and this is part of that conversation.
Okay. And so if it isn't then a transload facility, which is what is described here, it'll be something that's determined that is their best need.
Right. Right. Given changing circumstances.
All right. Another question.
Yep. So what you're saying is this is going to be earmarked for Eastport?
For port use, yes.
For Eastport port use?
So yes.
If the need wasn't there but it was somewhere else, it wouldn't be transferred?
It could be transferred. I mean, historically, the way the bonds are done is that we go into the legislature with a plan of how it's going to be used, and obviously we live up to that. But in the end, if there's some reason it can't go forward and there's another port need or freight need elsewhere in the state, that could be reconsidered.
But we would typically and historically would come back to the committee and report on that change of circumstance before we would make any final.
I just think that your study group is really going to be kind of a little bit of a work in progress because of the mill closings, not
yeah.
only there, but throughout the state, at least the downsizing. So that's
yeah.
you'd think that's one of the main use for the railroad.
All right. Yeah. Portland, we've also allocated $3.5 million for the rebuilding of the International Marine Terminal, the IMT. The IMT is strategic in the sense that you can take containers and by barge out of Portland and do what they call coastal shipping
and rail.
Excuse me. Down to New York and other locations, and the IMT has been in desperate need of repairs for years. It needs to be broadened and widened, better lay down area. So if we're going to have that be an effective part of the strategy, these are investments that are needed. And finally, at Searsport, they're currently the Army Corps of Engineers has been studying doing the engineering on dredging of that marine channel. That marine channel serves Mack Point, but it also serves Sears Island as well. And it's estimated that we would need $4.5 million to match $16.5 million in federal Army Corps investment to dredge that harbor. Again, that would dredge it down from 35 to 40 feet at low tide. If you go in Mack Point and Sears Island, you know, you both would need those kinds of depths to optimize their ability to bring the bigger ships in.
Representative Hogan?
But if you got an investor for a port, wouldn't that be their responsibility, or are we talking about something different?
Well, this is like a highway. It's a designated marine channel, and typically the expense of dredging that goes with the federal government and the state government.
And it would also be servicing the existing facility at Mack Point, wouldn't it?
Right, right. I mean, this is the channel. I'm not saying that, you know, if right on shore, that if they need dredging, that might be the responsibility of a developer.
Correct.
Right,
this
dockside.
This is channel dredging.
This
yeah.
is the it's general channel coming in and out.
It's my understanding that this was dredged. It's not insurmountable, but there isn't any thought to doing any demolition of that ledge in this dredging.
Are you talking about Long Cove up towards the top of it? Or?
No, actually, if the ship comes in along, and
yep.
so Sears Island would be on the starboard side, the right-hand
oh,
side
I see,
as the
yeah.
ship comes in, and then Mack Point is straight ahead. Well, Mack Point's ports, piers, are kind of headed out at that ship
right.
coming in, and there is an area where the ship may turn to the left. As the if Sears Island
oh,
port
I,
okay. side, if Sears
yeah.
Island is on the right
and
there is a ledge there that they have to work around, and the pilots work around that, and it's probably a pretty expensive removal, but it isn't part of your dredging. I don't
believe so, but we'll check that out.
All right, a little technical.
Because that'd be a bit more extensive.
Yeah, thank you. Port and starboard, fore and aft. Yeah. I'll try to catch on to it, though. Keep me up. One can keep me counted, and one can keep me directed. Okay, you want to continue through?
Okay. There's also funding in here for the popular Small Harbor Improvement Program, otherwise known as SHIP, $1 million.
The possibilities of having that money used seem to me to most, maybe always, exceed the money that's available. Is that we find these kind of investments all along the coast?
Yeah, we have plenty of demand for these
yeah,
funds.
That's what I mean.
It's a popular program, and it tends to go into small working harbors. And I know several circumstances where these projects just couldn't have happened if we weren't able to
yeah.
come up with a portion
we'd
of the
able
funds.
To get you. A reasonably good sense of the current demand versus
yes.
the available funds.
Representative Brown?
I know we're going to have a bond before us on the Gulf of Maine.
The bulkhead. Bulkhead, yep.
That, none of that would cover any of these.
It is not.
Not in our plan.
That's a private.
It's a private. There's really not a transportation aspect to it.
In fact, I am supporting that bond, and in an effort to try to find where that bond might best reside, I had gone to the department, and I'm convinced that there isn't much of a transportation aspect to it. It's more of a economic development aspect. For
I just kind of wondered maybe to piggyback that somehow on the Portland.
From the standpoint of a vehicle, it has in the past. The last time there was bond funds raised for this purpose, it was in the transportation.
It was?
It was put in the transport. But from a purely transportation standpoint, there's not transportation value to this project. That doesn't mean it doesn't have a higher value in terms of public purpose.
I just want, you know, if you're going to do something with Portland Harbor, IMT, I don't know,
that's
something
that
other bond.
What's IMT?
It's a part of the... 3-4 at $10.5 million in investment.
Okay. All right.
Moving on to passenger transportation, there's funding in here of $2 million to acquire the last portion of the St. Lawrence and Atlantic line from Yarmouth to Auburn. As you will recall, the department purchased with the previous bond funds the St. Lawrence and Atlantic line from Portland to Yarmouth Junction. And this corridor is critical in terms of connecting Maine's two largest urban areas, Lewiston, Auburn, and Greater Portland. The Downeaster Amtrak service is intercity passenger rail, and that has needs for... out of Portland is 5 trips a day, and it would be an additional 2 trips a day up to Brunswick when that is completed. But in terms of commuter rail, to have an effective light rail system, you need hourly kind of schedules, which aren't conducive to a busy freight line such as Pan Am has. So this would give us a corridor almost for our exclusive use. There is some freight activity on here, but it's minor compared to the Pan Am line.
So the corridor is presently privately owned?
Yes, and the portion of it. We have purchased the portion up to Yarmouth Junction, and this would take us all the way up to Auburn.
As part of that acquisition, we negotiated an option to buy the remaining piece and also certain easements required to ensure you could have uninterrupted service from Portland all the way to Auburn, where they have gone through the NEPA process to plan for an intermodal facility similar to what they have in Portland. So it's all part of that master plan, but this would basically have the state purchase the ownership of that corridor like it has in the Mountain Division in the Rockland Branch.
Is there a willing seller?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is not a taking?
No.
Okay.
No.
Representative Harlow and then Senator Gooley.
No, I was just wondering, which way are we going to send that train up? Is it going to go across the Gulf or is it going to head north?
Well, the existing line goes up the 295 corridor, and there would have to be a bridge or some other means.
Well, your point, you mean from the standpoint of Bayside versus the waterfront? Those determinations.
Right.
The long-term plan, this has been in the planning stages for many years. The Bayside option is what the plan's based on, but that can always be altered.
Because that bridge is going to be very expensive.
Right.
Because it was burned down before already.
Right.
The study looked at building the new bridge versus rehabbing the existing trestle, and the cost was essentially the same.
Yep.
So, but that's still in play.
Exciting. Thank you very much.
When you talk about the bridge, Representative, the one by B&M, that bridge?
Right. Yeah.
Not the big bridge. That thing is just got rocks sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, but that would be the rail. I mean, if there was a rail bridge, that would be the location of the rail bridge, perhaps?
It's an option.
An option.
It's going to be tough because there's already a narrow gauge railroad that goes across there.
Yeah.
In front of it.
Yeah.